All right. Well, if you have your Bibles this evening, you can turn with us to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15 tonight. And we'll be there momentarily. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. But as you're finding your place there, I want you to imagine you were standing in a crowd of 1,000 people. Not just 1,000 people, thousands of people. You were just one of thousands of people, and the people you're standing with, they find themselves hungry, they find themselves tired, they find themselves hopeless, and the disciples, they find themselves overwhelmed. But then we come to Jesus, and we find Jesus, like so many other times we find him in the scriptures, he's calm. He's not overwhelmed. He's not flabbergasted. He's not worried about the situation. And all he does in this situation is ask a very simple question. And that question he asks is just very simply, how many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? And you find out very quickly he's not asking about the size of the problem, but about the availability of a solution. He isn't focused on what's missing, but he's focused on what you are willing to give. And that same question that Jesus asked way back here in the Gospel of Matthew is the same question that he answers today, or asks today, rather. And it's not, what do you have? But he asks, well, what's already in your hands? And so you're there in Matthew chapter 15. And notice, if you would, beginning at verse number 32. Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse number 32. The Bible says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came into the coasts of Magdala. And I want you to notice again that phrase there in verse 34. And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And so there's several things that I want to see from this text tonight as we try to answer that question for us personally. How many loaves do you have? Number one being this, and that is to study the scriptures. To study the scriptures. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We learn very quickly as a new Christian, as a new babe in Christ, that the foundation of being effective spiritually begins with the scripture. It begins with the Bible. It begins with the word of God. And the disciples, they had spent 3 days listening to Jesus. You notice that there in verse number 32, the Bible says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me. Notice what it says, now 3 days. And so we can gather from that verse that the multitude had been with Jesus 3 days, but we can also gather that his disciples had been with him 3 days, and that his disciples had listened to him for 3 days. And what we see is that before bread was broken physically, it was received spiritually. You know, years ago, I saw the quote, and to this day, I don't actually remember who said it or who it's ascribed to. I believe it might have been Billy Sunday, but the quote simply said this, that a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And one of the things we need to learn very quickly is that as Christians, we need to study the Scriptures. What is it that we already have in our hands that we can use for Jesus and his service? Well, the first thing is always going to be the Word of God, the Scriptures. But not only do we need to study the Scriptures tonight, secondly, we see we need to stand on the Scriptures. We need to stand on the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Here in Matthew chapter 15, we find Jesus, he's going to feed 4,000. Now, what's interesting about this is that despite seeing Jesus already before this feed 5,000, not too long ago, we find that the disciples, they still hesitated. Notice what he says there in verse number 33. This is the disciples answering Jesus' concern from verse number 32. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness to fill so great a multitude? And so we see here that they had just seen Jesus feed 5,000. But now here they're hesitating. Here they're doubting. Here they're wondering, can it be done again? Why is that? Well, because they forgot to stand on what God had already done. They had forgot to remember that God had already done it before. And if God had already done it before, he would do it certainly again. The truth is this tonight is that we need to learn not to doubt in the present what God has proved in the past. If God has already done it in the past, he certainly can do it in the present, and he certainly can do it in the future. You know, it's like a child who, you know, they trust their father behind the wheel, or when the father is teaching that kid how to ride their bike for the first time, and you know, as the dad holds the bike, the child, you know, they feel safe and they feel secure. But then eventually the dad lets them go, and all of a sudden they feel they're not so secure. But they look back and they see that dad is still there looking back on them, and they have that trust still there. Well, just like that, we must trust our Heavenly Father. We must trust God even when we don't understand the road. And so we need to study the Scriptures. We need to stand on the Scriptures. And then thirdly tonight, we see we need to shift your sight. We need to shift your sight. Notice there, verse 32 again. Verse number 32. Jesus says this. He says, I have compassion on the multitude. I have compassion on the multitude. You see, here was the issue. The disciples, they were overwhelmed by the problem. They were focused on the problem. But Jesus was focused on the people. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We remember the story of Peter tonight, don't we? When Peter, he stepped out of the boat and he asked to come towards Jesus. And Jesus told him to come towards him. Well, Peter, he was able to walk on that water as long as he did what? As long as he looked at Jesus. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But then the moment he took his eyes off of Jesus and the moment he looked at the waves and the storm around him, what happened? He sank. He fell. And listen, the same is true of us tonight. We need to get our eyes off the problem, and we need to get our eyes on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get our eyes on Jesus. We need to shift our sight. We need to take it from the problem and to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then fourthly tonight, we see we need to survey your supply. We need to survey your supply. Notice there verse 34. And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven, and a few little fishes. Now, I've never been real great at math. In fact, I stunk at math, to be perfectly honest with you tonight. Did not do well in algebra, did not do well in algebra 2. I did okay in geometry, but I did not, I'm not a mathematician by any means, but I can look at these numbers and say, okay, 4,000 people and seven fish, that means about 3,995 people or 93 people are not going to eat. Because there's just seven fishes. There's no way. But what we see here is Jesus, he doesn't ask for what they don't have. He asks for what they do have. And he uses what is already in your hands. 1 Peter 4:10, the Bible says, as every man hath received the gift. You think tonight about those in Scripture, about what they had in their hand and what they were able to use for the honor and the glory of God. David, a little shepherd boy, he had a sling. Moses had a rod. The widow had a pot of oil. The question tonight is, what is it that God has placed in your hands that you can use for his honor and his glory? But not only do we need to survey our supply tonight, number five, we need to serve with sincerity. We need to serve with sincerity. Notice there, verse 36. Matthew 15:36, the Bible says, and he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Here's the great part about this story tonight. The disciples gave what they had, even though it seemed small. And here's what we need to learn and learn very quickly. And that is tonight, God blesses obedience. He doesn't bless comparison. You know, and listen, the worst thing you can do is compare yourself against another. I think there's even a scripture that talks about that. God blesses obedience. And notice what happens when they obeyed. Verse number 37. The Bible says, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. 1 Peter 4:10 again, as every man hath received the gift. Think about a little child who they, you know, growing up, we used to do this all the time in school. We would always make some type of a handmade gift for our parents, and we would take it to our parents, and by no means would those gifts be perfect, but they would be heartfelt. They would be from the heart. They would be the very best that we could offer. And tonight, I want you to know that God cherishes our best. Listen, even if it seems small, God cherishes our best. And then number six, and finally tonight, we see the Savior supply. We see the Savior supply. Notice there again, verse 37. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. Here's the beauty of the story. They gave what they had, and then Jesus did the rest. And the result, they had full stomachs, and not only full stomachs, but they had leftovers. And not just, you know, one little basket of leftovers. No, the Bible says they had 7 baskets. Not just 7 baskets, a quarter of a basket here, half of a basket here. No, the Bible says they had 7 baskets full. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Listen, tonight, we serve a God that he can do above our wildest imaginations. A child, the story is told, once brought her broken toy to her dad. And the dad asked her, "Why didn't you bring it to me sooner?" She said, "I thought I could fix it." You know, oftentimes we miss out because we don't bring our little to Jesus until it seems to be too late. And then you notice there, verses 38 and 39. The Bible says, and they that did eat were 4,000 men. And then I want you to notice this next phrase. Beside women and children. So that tells us another truth tonight, is that it was just not 4,000 that Jesus fed. It's probably a lot more than 4,000. Because there were women there. There were children there. There were 4,000 men. But then there were children and women there as well. You say, then what's the point of this story tonight? Well, the miracles of Jesus have always been to prove his deity, to prove who he is, who he said he was, God come in the flesh. But they also always had another point, and the point of this particular story, I believe, is simply this. And that is, tonight, Jesus isn't waiting for your perfection. He's not. He's not waiting for my perfection. He's not waiting for you to be perfect. He's not waiting for me to be perfect. And so many people, they say, well, I'll get in church when I, you know, turn over the new leaf, or when I, you know, turn my life around, or whatever the case may be, fill in the blank. That's not what Jesus is waiting for. He's not waiting for perfection. He's waiting and he's asking for participation. Listen, he doesn't need much. Just what you have. So the question we need to ask ourselves tonight is, how many loaves do you have? And once you figure out what it is you have, will you give them to Jesus? You know, though, tonight the greatest loaf that we ever could offer to Jesus was our heart. And he wasn't asking for performance. He wasn't asking for ritual. He wasn't asking for repentance. He wasn't asking for anything else. He was asking for faith and trust and belief and repentance in what he did on Calvary's cross. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And listen, maybe when you gave your life to Jesus, you felt like, man, my life isn't much. What does he want with my life? That was the point. Because he can take a life and use it for his honor, his glory, and for our good. And then for believers tonight, God is calling us to take our small and trust him to make it sufficient. Listen, sometimes we might look at what we have and think, man, how on earth is that going to get us through? Well, that's because we serve a God that sustains. We serve a God that is sufficient. And so tonight, all we have to do is simply study the scriptures, stand in faith, shift your sight from the problem to the provider, survey your God-given supply, serve with all sincerity, and then see the Savior supply and multiply. And tonight he's still asking, like he asked the disciples, how many loaves do you have? The answer to that question is up to you and up to me tonight. Will we give our loaves to Jesus for his glory and for our good? Let's pray.